The PGA Championship off and running at TPC Harding Park out in San Fran. Here is Steve Sands from NBC and the Golf Channel. How you doing, Steve?
He's not there.
Yeah, he's right. Definitely
there.
Not
he is.
There. Can you hear Steve?
I can hear you. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're distracted because there's a lot going on in the sports world, including the PGA Championship, and I think Tiger's wrapping up his round right now. And we were talking about the different options to view the tournament, whether it's a feature group or if it's just, you know, jumping around to whoever happens to be playing well or any big shots. Do you have a preference when you're sitting back and watching a tournament like this?
I don't know. I'm watching the Caps Flyers, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
True enough.
You're taking me away from the Caps Flyers game to talk golf, man. I prefer with multiple TVs on the screen, on the wall.
Yeah.
I prefer just the regular telecast. The feature group thing I think is great. There are a lot of great options to watch. But I don't know whether it's because I'm just a straight sports fan or because we do this for a living. I just prefer to watch the regular telecast. And the host on ESPN here in the United States is Scott Van Pelt. He and I grew up together. We're very good friends, and I just wanted to hear him call major championship golf on a Thursday. So I've been watching the regular feed.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and ESPN's got all hands on deck. And it depends on what's going on in the tournament. But the idea of watching Tiger and Thomas and McIlroy and every single shot and the conversations that get picked up, it's really cool. And you know, without the fans being there, the first major in a long time, I wasn't sure what it would feel like. Now that they're off and running, and specifically the big boy in Tiger Woods, I believe is 2 under on the tournament, and it feels like he's ready to play. I think it feels like a major. What are you feeling like as we go into the weekend here, Steve?
It's a good description. I think it feels like a major. I'm with you on that. Look, it's odd to watch pucks with tarps in the stands and having the sound pumped in for TV. It's odd for when the Raptors are down in Orlando playing in the NBA and the way they've done it. But I think both of those sports have done a really good job. I think baseball looks the goofiest with those empty cavernous stadiums. They're doing the best they can, but I just think it looks the worst of the three. And then there's golf. And golf was the first one to come back along with NASCAR. And golf has been played now for the better part of a couple of months. And I think most people have gotten used to no fans, especially on Thursday and Friday. When it gets to late Saturday, late Sunday especially, then it becomes really, really strange. And this being the first major, I would tend to think that it seems more odd than it should. But then again, we've been used to it, and so have the players for the last couple of months. So it doesn't seem as odd as I thought it was going to be, having watched it. You know, I mean, Tiger just played a round of golf in basic silence, and that's something that you would never see anywhere in the world. So it's a little strange, but I don't think it's as bad as everybody thought it would be because we've seen it now for a couple of months.
Sanzi, we were bringing up Koepka in the beginning of the show. Like, he says some things. He's kind of got this cockiness to him. Obviously, his game backs it up. I think he had another fantastic round today. What did he end up, Ryan?
I think he's 4 under.
Yeah. 4 under par. How is he looked at through the golf media people? Are they like, oh, thank God this guy gives us a quote? Or do they think he's arrogant? Or how do you guys view him? Is he like a gem for you guys where you know you're going to get something? Or does he treat you guys well? Just what's his overall perception?
I think he's terrific. The guy's a great player. He shows up in big spots, and he's accessible. He doesn't say no to interviews. He doesn't say no to fans. He takes pictures, signs autographs, does interviews, whether it's print, radio, digital, TV, whatever it is. Is he the greatest soundbite of all time? Probably not. But, you know, he's growing up in front of the world stage, and he is a fabulous golfer, especially in these big moments. And I think that when you have that combination of cocky, arrogance, game, and accessibility, what more can you ask from an athlete? And I love being around him. I think you guys would too. Be a great guy to go out and have a beer with and just, hang out with and watch hockey or basketball or baseball or football or horse racing or tennis or whatever it is. And I've had some great conversations with him just walking the fairways and practice rounds, no cameras around. And you guys would really dig him. He doesn't come across as a warm person, but he is a warmer person than he comes across as, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
That's one of the biggest things for pro athletes, and Brian and Sanzi, you can both weigh in. I think you got to do the media stuff, you got to be professional, but you don't always have to be this talking, big, bubbly personality and have that quote. You don't get paid to do that. You got to do the stuff that you're supposed to do, but you always can't come up with the great soundbite. That's not your job.
I agree. I think, look, I don't know what people want from athletes anymore. I'm an old man. I don't do the Twitter and the social media, the Instagram and all that garbage. I just, if I want to call you guys, I'll just call you, you know, maybe text you. I just, the whole social media thing is bizarre to me. But that's my age more than anything else. Brooks is one of these guys who doesn't take for fools. You know, he does not appreciate people who are not very bright or ask stupid questions or yell stupid things. It's not that he dismisses them. He just doesn't give those people a lot of time. But, you know, neither would I. Neither would we. I mean, like, I don't know what people want from their athletes. You ask them a question, and they give you an answer. Mm-hmm. If you don't like the answer, then don't ask the question.
That's right.
I don't quite understand that. Now, not everybody is warm and fuzzy. You know, I mean, McIlroy is the best interview in golf. He's the smartest, best, you know, combination. But that doesn't mean that he's any better or worse than Brooks is when it comes to the media. They just have different approaches. Brooks, by the way, also, because of his stature in the game, it's fascinating to listen to him on big topics. Topics like, you know, rule changes or things that are going on in the game, those kinds of things. He is not afraid. He's not afraid to play, and he's not afraid to speak. And I don't know what else people would want from a professional athlete. Of course he's not as warm and fuzzy as some guys, but who cares? Not everybody needs to be the same. I'm telling you, if the audience knew him, if you guys knew him, you would dig him. He'd be a great guy to go to dinner with, have a few beers, and watch some sports with.
Yeah, that's you're not the first one that said that. Well, I've heard that from a few different people, with Steve Sands from NBC and the Golf Channel. And I think that self-awareness would likely show up in terms of him being well aware and understanding that if he wins, the media is going to keep talking to him, right?
Yeah.
And if he loses, that'll fade. You know, if you fall off and all of a sudden you're number 125 in the world and barely making cuts, people will stop paying attention to you. And Koepka, I'm sure, is aware of that. And he knows he's going to show up at these tournaments. He's going to play well, and then he'll ask, you know, he'll answer whatever questions get posed.
I think it's really cool. I've talked to him about this a couple times. And when he's played poorly and he walks off the golf course, he kind of looks over at you, kind of touches the bill of his hat and looks and goes, I'm guessing you don't want to speak to me today because he hasn't played well.
Right.
And then when he plays well, he jokingly looks at you and goes, I guess you have some time for me today. So believe me, he has a little bit more personality than I think he portrays. But he is different than most players on the tour. The difference between Brooks and the other guys is Brooks is one of those guys, and we probably all had friends like this in high school or college. He doesn't care what people think. He really doesn't. He is not out there to be best friends with all the PGA Tour players.
Perfect.
He's out there to kick their butt and win majors and win PGA Tour events, and that's what he's been doing. He's not there for a popularity contest. He's there to try to be the best player he can be.
Well, how would you compare that to Tiger Woods, like his first 10 or 15 years on tour?
Same thing. You know, Tiger, somebody was asking me this yesterday about Tiger. Nowadays, the guys he's playing against now, Koepka, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, you know, those young great players today, they have gotten to know him much, much better than Ernie Els, David Duvall, Vijay Singh, Phil Mickelson, Retief Goosen, those guys in that era. Because back then, Tiger was a completely different person. And obviously he's gone through a lot on and off the golf course in the 25 years he's been on the PGA Tour, 24 years.
But, he didn't even say hi to those guys.
Oh, my God, he would ice them. That's what he thought would be the best way to go about his business, to try to get a win. Koepka goes about it the same exact way. And he's not out there to be the most popular guy. He's out there to be the best. And I personally, I don't know if I could do that. Everybody wants to be liked. You know, everybody wants to be a popular guy. No one wants to be not liked, let's put it that way. And he's out there, you know, doing it his way, to steal a Frank Sinatra line. And he is definitely doing it quote unquote, my way.
Yeah, well, that's true. The Flyers up 1-0 in the first period on the
I saw that. See, I'm going to hang up now because it's bad luck to talk to you guys.
That's right. Well, good luck to your Caps. I mean, we're coming for you up here in Toronto. It's 1-1, and there's confidence brewing in Toronto. So we'll see.
By the way, do we consider this a full Stanley Cup?
Nobody.
Lockout seasons? I'm more into it than I thought. Are you guys?
You win the Stanley Cup, you win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter
agree.
How you got it.
I agree.
When you win the Cup, Steve, you get a replica of the Stanley Cup. It's not going to say COVID year on it. It's going to be just the Stanley Cup with everybody's name on it, and your ring is going to just be a regular cup ring. And with 25 years from now, you're not going to look at your grandkids or your buddies and say, see that little COVID logo on it? There's nothing like that on it. So just go win it.
Listen, the lockout, there have been strikes in football. There's a lot going on in sports. I'm with you. Man, 2 years ago when the Caps won it all, I was so lucky to be able to go and touch the cup, and I refused to ever touch it for all those years because the Caps had never won it. And when I got a chance to see it in person, man, I'm telling you, I'm 51 years old, so I'm 49 back then. It took me a long time to get our team to get the Stanley Cup. And it was just so cool to be around it. That trophy and that cup and the claret jug, the Open Championship trophy, the oldest trophy in golf, those two are the coolest trophies or cups, if you will, in sports, man. That Stanley Cup is something special. Whoever wins the Stanley Cup, even if it is your Maple Leafs after 5,000 years of disappointing those fans up there, it'd be nice to see Toronto win it all. If the Caps can't win it, I'm rooting for Toronto.
Okay, well, we'll take it. I don't know if that's 100% truthful, but we'll take it. Thank you,
I'm
Steve.
No, I'm serious. I love the Leafs, man. I think they're cool.
All right, well, listen, it's sure a long way. They got to get through Columbus. I mean, I'm somewhat joking when I say there's confidence up here. There very rarely is when it surrounds the Maple Leafs based on that history you just referenced. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Enjoy the rest of the game, the rest of the weekend. As always, we appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for this.
Anytime, fellas. Be good. Nice to talk to you.
You too. There's Steve Sands from NBC and the Golf Channel. Big Caps fan. Caps down 1-0 right now. Looks like Philly and Tampa.
I was just going to say, like you said that earlier, like Philly could run the table here.
Yeah,
they could be the first seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually sneakily look very good. I'll be honest, the best team I've seen play so far has been Colorado. Like, Colorado is serious.
These goofy round robins just aren't getting enough attention. Like, they're just, and I'll admit myself, I'm not getting dragged in. Like, I've got other stuff going on, other games,
I don't
other
think
events.
Some of the teams are either. They're just like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Boston's mentality, even Washington, they're vets, they're veteran guys.
Yeah, where do they care if they seed? You know what I mean?
Okay.
They're playing
take the three seed. Go ahead.
There's no home or road, really. Like, you're playing in the same building. The last change, yes, for the coach, I get. But you're right. Like, I think these veteran teams like Boston and maybe Wash and, you know, even Dallas, like, whatever happens, and whatever happens, like, hey, we're going into that first round, and we got to figure out who we're going to play. I agree with you. I don't think they care that much, but I will say the Boston-Tampa game was really chippy yesterday, really, really chippy. Like, you know, I think Boston's trying to find their game where other teams have found it already or at least arrived at what they look like quicker than Boston for sure.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of journey to get to the real stuff for those eight teams and how they're approaching it. It's kind of similar to what's going on in the bubble down in Orlando, where the Raptors are red hot. You know, they're 3-0. They played great again last night, and they've basically wrapped up the two seed. So now what do they do? Do they try to keep this pace? Do they try to grow? Do they slow down? The Lakers, some people are giving the Lakers some heat. What do they care? They've wrapped up the number one seed. LeBron's not playing tonight. Why would he? Like, what do they care about? They don't care about regular season games when there's 20,000 people in the building and they've wrapped up the first seed. Like,
Love
really,
management.
They don't. Like,
yeah,
LeBron,
you're right.
If this game was in L.A. tonight against Houston, LeBron still wouldn't be playing. So, you know, Giannis didn't play. Every team is trying to take a different approach, and I don't know what it's going to add up to once we get into the playoffs. Will the teams that have been fighting for their lives have a step up? Will the teams that have the ability to ease into it, you know, feel like they've got more energy? I guess
I don't
we'll
know.
Find out in a couple of weeks.
I think the biggest thing, honestly, Brian, is health. Like, you're looking at, you know, some players drop. I mean, Winnipeg's a mess from injuries. Like,
disaster.
Oilers lost Tyler Ennis last night. I know he's not a, you know, a marquee name, but it's a guy who's been playing in your top six. Like, you're trying to make it through. I mean, Jake Muzzin, prime example in Toronto. Like, how are the Leafs going to look on the back end? We're almost an hour in the show. We haven't talked about, you know, how the Leafs' back end is going to look, you know, and where's our level of concern or comfort level. I mean, we know that the forwards can play, but then we're expecting more out of Morgan Riley and guys like that. But, you know, Sheldon hasn't even tipped his hand at how he's going to, is he going to dress 7D tonight? Like, what's
he
doing?
Well, let's come back and we'll get into that. Bob McKenzie in about 20 minutes. We'll tee up the Leaf game extensively with Bob. Ray Ferraro is coming up after 6 o'clock, so Ray is moving back about an hour. So we will get into the Leafs and what we expect tonight, what has to happen for them to pick up a win. We're tracking the 2 hockey games, the NBA games, the PGA Championship. Tigers off the course. I believe he finished, is it 3 under, I believe.
I love that.
Yeah, he's feeling pretty good after
old
day one.
J-Mac would love that too, wouldn't
yes,
he?
Yes, well, he'll have the neck warmer going, the scrunchy neck warmer.
He'll have that exact same outfit tomorrow golfing.
Yeah, he'll be playing. I know exactly where he's going to be playing.
Oh, yeah. The white Nike shoes, the blue pants, and the blue Nike wool shirt, mm-hmm. and the handkerchief, whatever that
is. And a scrunchie around his neck.
And gum. Yeah.
And gum. Yes, and it'll be 30 degrees.
That's right.